Say this, say the will of God
has been completed
for me,
in me,
and through me.
Tonight,
I will step into
a higher dimension
of completion.
Pray about it.
Thank you, Lord.
My Holy Spirit, that you
escort us into
a higher dimension
of completion.
We just thank you
for it right now in the
name of Jesus.
We bless you.
We honor
you. We adore you.
We thank you
for it.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you,
sir.
Amen.
Put the second one up.
Say
actions
speak louder than
words.
Come on, say it
again. Actions
speak louder than
words.
Now a little
louder. Say
actions
speak louder
than words.
I determine
within
myself
to
allow my
life
to
speak
volumes
to this
earth.
Pray in
the spirit about it.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm determined.
I'm determined
within myself to
allow my life
to
speak volumes
to the earth, God.
I'm
determined.
Mama
Shandada, I am
determined.
Mama Robo
Kororo.
I am determined.
My Shindere
Kele.
I am
determined.
Mama Robo
Shotro Kola.
Manada
Robo Sodro Kolo
Mandara Kalaraba.
Mama
Shandra Kolo Mashandra
Ha.
Mama
Shandra
Kele,
Bishinic
Kele, Kolo
Robo Shandra
Kolo Mashandra.
Mama
Shandra Kolo,
Kolo
Basindre.
Manana
Mama Sandra
Kalara Kalada
Robo Shandra.
And
the last one,
short
and simple.
Simply
put,
all right,
say a little louder.
Simply put,
as Jesus
is,
I am.
Let's say
it again.
Simply put,
as Jesus
is,
I am.
One more time.
Simply put,
as Jesus
is,
I am.
Pray about it.
My sin did it.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
My Chandra Kolo
Mondro.
Amen.
Amen.
We have prayed.
You may be
seated.
Thank you,
Lord.
Ephesians
4, and you don't
have to turn there,
but
we are very familiar
with the scripture. It's just
an intro to what I'm
saying tonight.
It talks
about in verse 11,
Ephesians 4, verse 11,
and he gave
some apostles and prophets
and evangelists and pastors
and teachers,
right? Are we
familiar with that?
It's called
government.
And so
he's given
us all these different
things, and he
lined it up in
order. But
verse
12
starts talking
about for the
perfecting of the saints,
for the work of the
ministry, for the edifying
of the body.
I am
to prove
that
scripture is in
order just like the scripture
before.
If verse
11 is in order,
apostles, prophets,
evangelists, pastors,
and teachers, then
when he's talking
about the
perfecting of the saints,
the work of the ministry,
the edifying of
the body, he said
those in order too.
So
the first thing he says
in verse 12
now, and
you put verse 12 on
the board, the first thing he says in
verse 12,
the first line is,
for the perfecting
of
the saints.
Come on, say it.
The perfecting
of
the saints.
I
like to say this every
time I talk about
perfection, because I
don't like people talking
about things
that they don't know what
they're talking about.
And I
don't like people using
words when
they don't know how to
use them. All right?
Stop
saying, ain't
nobody perfect.
I'm going
to say it tonight.
That's stupid.
So
next time you say it,
you're calling yourself
stupid. All right?
My trail didn't
do it.
Perfection has
nothing to do with being
flawless.
What
you're trying to say
is nobody's
flawless.
Say that.
But the Bible
repeats over and
over again, here is
my love made
perfect.
He's talking
about the perfecting
of the saints.
If it wasn't possible,
he wouldn't put it.
All right,
so can we
conclude
not to say that no
more?
Ain't nobody
perfect. Can we conclude
not to say
it no more? All right,
perfection.
Perfection
has to do with
purpose and has to do with
maturity.
When he's talking about perfecting the saints, I got to get this quick. When he's talking about perfecting the saints, it's talking about maturing the saints. So now in order, the first thing I receive it, the first thing he wants to do with the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers is to mature the saints. That's number one. Many times we jump to the work of the ministry or the edifying of the body, but we haven't been perfected. So we're skipping steps. So now we're trying to do something. Literally in life right now, and just in our physical being, this is just a physical example, but literally in life, there is an age and a level of maturity that your physical body has to reach in order to reproduce. Come on. All y'all was reproduced. You are a reproduction. All right, and some of y'all didn't reproduce before, amen? But there's an age of maturity. It's not just because you're a human being, but there's an age. You got to get to a certain age where your body starts to develop a certain way where a woman's body can carry a baby and a man's body can produce a baby, all right? There's a level of maturity. I'll say it again. There's a level of maturity. Now, God set it out for us. Before then, ain't no babies. Before the level of maturity, ain't no babies. It is not going to happen. If your mama and your daddy never reached the age of maturity and they got cut off before then, you are officially cut off. Maturity. Everybody say maturity. Maturity. Come on, say it again. Say maturity. Maturity. The Lord told me, and I'm riding down the street yesterday, he told me, he said, a lot of times the body of Christ and the children of God are praying for manifestation that they're not mature enough to produce. Wow. Come on, I know that hurts. Come on. Everybody say ouch. Come on. Ouch. Come on. Come on. Say ouch. Ouch. Whatever it is you're trying to pray for that ain't manifesting in your life, it's probably immaturity. Wow. Me too. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. Everybody say me too. Come on. Too. Come on, loosen up, because I know that's not the easiest thing to swallow, but if you ain't got it, you immature somewhere. If you are not producing it, then there's somewhere in your production factory that it can't be produced yet. There's somewhere that you have to mature more before that manifestation can take place. So the perfecting of the saints. I can't go to the work of the ministry yet. Work of the ministry. All right, it sounds deep. Work of the ministry. Ministry means passing out. Administer. To pass up now. You look up the original definition of ministry and then go back into how it was defined in the beginning. It's talking about just giving something out. Mm-hmm. Like passing out. So the work of giving it out. Yeah. Okay. Right? But you can't give nothing out you ain't. For the perfecting of the saints. Then we go to work of ministry. Then the body gets built. The body is built up and it's strong. The edifying, the solidifying of the body. That comes last. But it starts off with, so I'm to assume that no perfection, no building up. No perfection in you and I, then there's no production. Every time, throw your religious rhetoric and all your traditions out the window. Every time you come here to hear a word, when apostles come to speak to you or when anybody else comes to speak to you, they are saying what they're saying to mature you. You ought to come prepared, not to get your needs met, but to grow up, that you grow up into him in all things. That's further down in Ephesians 4, that you grow up into him in all things. How many things?
All
things. Everybody say, grow up.
Grow.
Look at your neighbor, tell him, grow up.
Grow.
Look at the other one, tell him, grow up. Use your finger. Grow up. The moment that you grow up, let me say this real quick. As soon as you grow up, you won't have to be praying about all that stuff no more. Okay, so stop praying about all that stuff and grow up. Stop asking, God, I don't want this, I want. He said, grow up. It's like a trust fund. Like if you're familiar with a trust fund, you set up a trust fund for a child. Galatians talk about this and said, the heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing but from a servant, though he be Lord of all. All right, can I make that simple? If you're still a little kid, though you the prince, you own it all, you ain't nothing but a servant as long as you acting like a child. But, thank God, but it's under tutors and governors. Until the appointed time, like a trust fund. You set up a trust fund for a little kid, and you say when they reach 18, they go get that money. That money is theirs. Now, it's theirs, and it's growing the whole time, but you can't get it till you reached 18. You can't access this thing until you reach a certain level of maturity. Even Jesus had to reach a level of maturity before he went off into ministry. Y'all saw him trying to start when he was 12? Yeah, he was a little anxious. I got the power. I know who I am. They done told me. I'm ready to go. Then he in the synagogue really like blowing their minds at 12. Mary say, come on, bring it back in here. Mary say, we've been walking all these days and can't find you. What you mean? He talking about woman, I'm by my, but we know we don't hear nothing else after that. We know Jesus was walking. Might have been, we don't know. Might have been a little correction there. Hey, it's 18 years until we saw him again. And then he said, here's my son in whom I'm well pleased, my beloved son. You get it? Maturity. Everybody say maturity. Come on, come on, come on. Say it again. Say maturity. Say I. Come on, come on. Do your hands. Say I have to grow up. If you, when you go to the word, when you pray, when you do the different things that we do, if you look for maturity, you'll find it. Many times we're looking for everything else. You know, a revelation. I want a revelation from God. Yeah, it's maturing you. It's all about maturity. If you mature, you will literally produce these things. You don't have to go look for them. All these things that you want, all these things you have need of, you'll produce them. It'll come out of you. All right, so it's an intro. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today I found myself, I was in the back by the warehouse and I had to unlock something and had to open it to be able to use it. And it had a combination. Like, anybody ever use a combination lock? Not the kind you twist, but like the ones we got the little numbers. You got a lot of numbers up, right? Anybody ever use one of those before? Yeah, you got a lot of numbers up. So we lining the numbers up so I go there and as normal, I'm going to unlock it. So I get the lining the numbers up. And I'm twisting. I got to look up under the thing, and I'm twisting. And I'm lining the numbers up. And I finally got the number lined up, and then I realized it was already unlocked. I realized it was already open. Regardless of all the stuff I was doing, it was already open. It was already, I see Jesus, it was already open. It was unlocked before I started touching anything. But I just go through the motions. I'm trying to look through the numbers and trying to do all these different things, but it's already open. Many of the things that you have going on in life is already unlocked. It's already fixed. It's already done. Stop twiddling with the numbers and pay attention. The Lord told me, he said, the problem is, he said, it's already unlocked, but you keep trying to go your way. You still playing with numbers. You still trying to do combinations. And trying to come up with combinations to get something open that's already open. Just pay attention to the fact that it's already done. You already free. You're not getting free. You already loose. You're not getting loosed. You already healed. You're not getting healed. You're already blessed. You're not getting blessed. You're not going to get a blessing. You're the blessing. But if you don't realize that, like I didn't realize it until after I was finished. Then I look at it, I say, God dog, this thing already open. So that means it could have shortened my time in what I was doing. It was actually trying to make it easier for me. Somebody had already unlocked it before I got there. And it was actually trying to make it easy for me, but I wasted time because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't expecting it to be unlocked. I just expect to go back to that and it's going to be locked up just like everything else. I expect to go back to this situation. I go back to the doctor expecting them to tell me what they told me last time when it's already been unlocked. I go look at my bank account and look at it and expect it to say what I left it with last time, although it's already. Say it, it's already done. Come on, say it again. Say it's already done. Come on, say it again. Say it's already done. Are we going somewhere? It's already done. So if it's already done, if it's already done, if it's already fixed, we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8, right? So we're saved, E-D. We've already been saved. I'm saying like that for real. Past it. It's done already, right? We are saved by grace through faith. Grace and faith is the combination already. The combination. The combination. All right, it's already done. We got to make the combination. Because it's true, it's already done, right? We agree it's already done? But let's keep it 100. Can we keep it 100? Y'all know what I mean to keep it 100, right? We're going to tell the whole truth, number the truth, so help me God, right? Like, I'm not going to be faking. I'm not going to be fronting. I'm not going to act like everything is everything and everything ain't everything, right? I'm not going to stunt on my own life, right? Y'all know how we do, right? Come on, amen. Amen. No, let's keep it 100. It's already done. It's already done. But you got some stuff in your life that ain't done, huh?
Ooh, amen.
Come. Yes, sir. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say it so you won't have to sound like you saying it louder than the next person, so you won't feel embarrassed. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That's me.
That's me.
It's true.
It's true.
I need you to admit.
Yes, sir.
It's already done, though. Come on, it's already done. We know by scripture, Jesus said it is finished. He wasn't lying. So if it was finished way back then for you right now, then why do I have some things that are unfinished, untied in my life? There's a reason. There's a reason for it. You one of the main causes, right? We are one of the main causes.
Yes, sir.
Grace was all about us, but not by us. Because it says after that, it says, it is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God.
Yeah.
All right, right, right. It says in the scripture. We don't have time to go to Ephesians 2. It says, it is not of yourselves. I mean, it didn't come from you. That means somebody else put that there.
Right.
Right? So it's all about you, but not from you.
Yeah.
So grace, here we go. Grace, I got a thing written in my notes. Grace is primed for birth, but it still needs a seed of faith. Come on, y'all grown people, flow with me. Come on now. Come on, we grown. Grace is primed for birth, but still needs the seed of faith. So now if grace is there, well, where do I fit in? What do I do? What part do I play? Do I just sit back like the other grace message say? You know they got two grace messages, right? You know, there's one that's just fancy. It's just, you can do whatever you want to. God love you no matter what. Ain't no consequence. I beg to differ. I beg to differ because have you ever received a consequence? Okay, well, I beg to differ just on that. Just on that merit. I done received a smackdown before. So what do I do? What do I do, Larry? What do I do? Like, what's my part? So if grace is already there and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, then now there's a part that I got to play, and it's called. So I need to work my faith. You ever heard that before? Come on, church people, come on. Y'all ever heard that? I work my faith, right? Y'all got to work my faith. Well, how I do that? Of course, somebody said, confess the word. Praise the Lord for your confession. Somebody said, I got to do it. How do I do it? How do I do faith? You ever thought about that? Listen, I'm thinking about this. This is how I get to know God and find out what God really want me to do. I don't run off from church and be like, I got my notes, so I done something. Sometimes your notes make you feel like you accomplished something.
Yeah.
You write a whole 2 pages of notes and think you did something.
Right.
But ain't nothing been done if ain't nothing show up.
Right.
Ain't nothing no different if don't nothing manifest differently.
Right.
How do I do faith? I don't, you know, I hear a lot of definitions. What's the definition of faith? Acting and believing on the word of God. Well, what does that mean? How do I do that? I really want to bring something home for you tonight, and I hope I can do it pretty quick. I want to bring something home for you tonight, and I want to clarify some faith for you, because we've been faithing for forever. That's number one. It's there forever. But we've been faithing for a lot of stuff, right? Nothing wrong with that. We've been faithing for a lot of things. We've been putting our faith on a lot of different things. We've been sending out our faith, and we've been, we supposedly been operating in faith in a lot of different things. But I need to understand why they manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
If God is who he says he is, and he is, Come on, say, and he is. Then why it's not showing up? See, the problem with your witness is there is no witness. The problem with your witness is I can't see nothing. A witness, when I go to court, if I'm a witness, they don't even subpoena me to be a witness unless I done seen something. If I ain't seen nothing, then I'm useless to the court. I'm useless to this case. If I ain't seen nothing, I'm useless to this case. So you need to see something. I know these people in the streets need. I know what they need. They need to see something. I hear your rhetoric. I hear your message. I hear you telling me I'm not good enough. I hear all that. I need to see something. I need to see something different than what I see. They got a lot of people that'll leave the faith, that have left the faith because they ain't see nothing. Because of the rhetoric. Thank God for our church. Thank God for our power. Lord Jesus. Come on. Thank God for our apostle that's showing us the truth and showing us how to walk in it, right? But there's a lot of churches that ain't walking in nothing. They're getting told a lot of different things and ain't nothing happening. I believe I'm going to show you tonight one of the main things that your faith is for and how to use it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And please, again, I always say this, please don't turn to the scripture. I know you know it by heart, some of y'all. Please don't turn here and come up with your revelation in your mind. Just leave your revelations where it's at right now. All right? So I know if I got grace, the grace is already there. It's already done. It's already set up. It's primed for birth. It's right there taking care of me even when I ain't taking care of myself, right? It's doing stuff for me even when I ain't doing the stuff that I should do, right? Right. It's already doing it, all right? Grace is right there primed. So now my faith, everybody say my faith.
My faith,
somewhere along the line is not in place for this production.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, my faith is somewhere else and not lined up with grace to do what it's supposed to do. To save me. Everybody say save me.
Save.
Now I know we are saved, but if you don't have enough, you're not saved in that area.
Yeah.
Like you need to be pulled up out of that hole.
Right.
If you are in a hole of debt or in a hole, a place where you don't have enough going on, somebody got to pull you up out of there. If your health ain't where it's supposed to be, you need to be pulled up out of there. Now you're already saved. But somewhere along the line, you just don't know it. Knowing. I said it before, knowing. We separate the definitions of knowing from the Bible knowing and what we think knowing is. You know, what we say knowing is, like, you know something, that's really mean being informed. Like, you got information. In the Bible, know means, they say Mary conceived and she had not known Joseph yet. When somebody knows somebody, there was some intimacy going on. Come on now. There was an intimacy going on. There's an intermingling going on that produces. If you really know something, it'll produce something. Come on now. Come on. Come on. So knowing. So somewhere along the line, I don't really know. If ain't no production, I don't really know. If it's not being produced in that area, then I don't really know if God wants that for me in that area. That's why Apostle had to preach, you know, when God gave him money coming years ago, and they said, why are you preaching on that so much? Because you didn't know.
Right.
You ain't know. The only thing we knew was money's evil. The less you got, the closer you are to Jesus. That's what you knew, so that's what you was intimate with. So now I got to come and tell you that in that area, you need to know something different. You know, for years, and we Word of Faith, and we were coming to the Word of Faith. You know, for years, we didn't know we could be healed. We thought that was just God punishing us, and you got to take your lick. Take your lick. You better find out what's going wrong in your life. Jesus come back and said, who they say, who's sinned? The boy would say, who's sinned? His father, his mother, he say, none, but that God be glorified.
Yeah.
Sometimes stuff just try to get on you, try to stop you. But we learn by his stripes. We were healed. So what's going on? Where am I missing it? Where is it not clicking for me? Jesus is perfect. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
I like to say Jesus is what Jesus is what we missing it. I know you love him. Y'all love him?
Yeah.
I know you love him. I know you appreciate it. I know you know all the stories. And I know you are, but are you him? Galatians 2:20, you there? Go ahead and read it. We'll read it again, and I want you to read it and think about what you're reading. Ready, read. So the life that I now live in the flesh. Yeah, oh, come on. Everybody in the flesh, come on. Come on, touch your hands, come on. You know, I ain't in the flesh. You in the flesh. You have no choice but wake up in the flesh. You can contact, you can let your spirit take over, but you still, if you're not in the flesh, you're gone. Huh? Come on. The life that I now live right here. Come on. This life that I'm now living here on this earth, I live it how?
In the flesh.
No, I live it how? It was like, I live it by the flesh. That's funny. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live. That's funny. That's the best. God, I'm never going to get down. That's best. I live how? Who's that? Who's the son? Who's that? Oh, that's Jesus, right? So the life that I now live, right here, right? I live it by the faith of the Son of God. Then it describes what that is, who did what. And then what he did after that. So I don't want to hear nothing about your love if you ain't giving nothing up, all right? I don't want to hear nothing. I read in a book the other day that it says, it is not disembodied ideas that do anything. Disembodied, the ideas that don't have a body, just in the air, but nobody acting them out. It is not disembodied, but it's those ideas that are embodied that turn the world upside down. Listen to what I'm saying. They say the reason that Jesus, watch this, was so important and was so effective is because he said things like this. If somebody do something against you, he said, how many times are we supposed to forgive them? He said, 7 times 70. Right? That's good, right? But then he went on from that statement and then died for them. And then said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Talk is cheap. Dirt cheap. Cheaper than dirt. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So now I got to find out, what's the faith of the Son of God? Now I know when you jump. I know John, he started talking to me. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Y'all know that, right? Y'all familiar with that? He said, you're going to do the same works that I do, right? You're going to do the same works. So we get excited because we want to see blind eyes open. Praise the Lord. For blind eyes open. We want to break bread, multiply fish. If that's what you want to do, praise the Lord for that. That's what we want to do. We want to walk on the water, and we want to raise the dead and lay hands on the sick and praise God. All of that's included, but all those are manifestations of the real point. I think it's Philippians 3:10. Turn that real quick. Paul used to preach this thing, man. Paul said that I may know him, talking about Jesus. And the power of his resurrection. Now we screaming right there. We screaming, ain't we?
Yeah.
But even if I let y'all read it right now, you read that part a little louder. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Then we get in the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable to the dead. Power! Power! Give me power! Hello. Fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable to his death. And we skip that part, the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. I don't want to suffer. Everybody say mature. Come on, come on. Say, I got to grow up. Come on, come on. Come on, say, I got to grow up. Come on, say it again. Say, I got to grow up. Come on, I got to remember the power that I may know him. I got to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto death, that's kind of real. That's kind of real and that's kind of far. That's kind of real and that's kind of over the top. Because he said, the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then right here, that I may know him and the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. Do you really know Jesus? I know him. Yeah, I know him. Do you really know him? If you knew him, you remember know means intimacy. Right? You're not informed about Jesus. You actually, if you know him, then that stuff will start coming out. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering. Being made, how far will you go? It keeps describing what the faith of the Son of God is. It keeps Galatians 2 keep describing the faith that he loved me and he gave himself for me. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Let me tell you something about his suffering. You know, we look at the bruise and the stab in the side and the thorn in the head, and all those hurt. I'm sure they hurt really bad, and the whooping. I'm sure that was a major part of the suffering. But one of the biggest things that hurt Jesus was that he was doing it for people that wasn't trying to rescue him. He was doing it for people that, because it's 3 years. All right, I did this calculation in my head. All right. Because sometimes we don't pay attention to how the Bible goes, and so sometimes it doesn't hit home. But it's 3 years, and whatever he did it in 3 years. 3 years is not a long, long time. You can meet somebody 3 years ago and still remember them today, right? So whatever, and he's traveling. He's not flying all over, but he's walking, all right? So, I mean, he's in a certain area, right? And so he's healing the sick, raising the dead, opening blind eyes, delivering people's children, doing all these different things in their eyes. He said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe me for my work's sake. And then those people are the same people that denied him. I mean, Peter, that's his homie. That was his boy. That was his homeboy that had the revelation. I don't know him. That gotta hurt. Now we know it had to happen. We know Jesus had to die. We understand the process, right? But it still don't take away the fellowship of his suffering that he had to deal with. He had to stand in the gap for somebody that didn't stand in the gap for him. That would hurt. That would hurt me for you to say you with me. But then just gone. That would hurt me for you to say you with me, but then just persecute me for whatever. How many times are we hurting people? Are we false judging people? Are we saying stuff that we ain't got no business saying? I'm getting over into what I want to get into before I want to get in there, but we going over there anyway. And we pointing all these fingers and we doing all these different things and we condemning them to death. And we condemning them to hell. And we tell them they ain't no good. And we're not doing the things. How many times are we making people suffer? Faith of the Son of God. The gesture to live by. Faith. All right, we know that one. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We got a lot of faith scripture. We just go faith after faith. The faith. Those are the same faith that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So that means there is no other faith but the faith of the Son of God. Huh? I can hear y'all. There's no other faith but the faith of the Son of God. There ain't no other, you don't have a different kind. You don't pick. You know, I told my homeboy one time, we were talking about soaking. And I told him, you know, when you soak, like when we soak, like you're getting your soul together. Y'all, some of y'all don't know about soaking because you're, all right, amen. If you soak, when you can't choose what you soak. When you get in the water, everything get it. Right? If you're going to live by faith, you got to live by faith. You can't choose where you want to be faithful. You can't choose. Listen, I'm thank God. We can't choose what we want faith in and what we don't want faith in. Either we in faith or we not in faith. All right, y'all see me, huh? Either I'm all the way in faith. Ain't no put my foot in and see how faith feels. No. Either I'm in faith or I'm out of faith. Either the faith in what it is. Either I'm living by faith or I'm not living by faith. Ain't no halfsies. Ain't no double dutch. Right? Either I'm in or I'm not. Ain't no other faith but the faith of Jesus. Huh?
Yeah.
You got another one? If you got another one, we need to pray for you tonight. Ain't no other one. There's no other faith but the faith of Jesus. And so now, if I see the faith of Jesus, and there's no other faith but the faith of Jesus, and I know without faith, I can't please him. Like if I'm not walking in that kind of faith, God is not pleased with me. If the just shall live by faith, then if I'm not in that faith, then I just won't live.
Amen. Amen.
So that faith, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That I may know him in the power and the fellowship. Being made conformable unto death. The scripture talking about, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5, write it down. We ain't got time. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. No. I ain't come in and say, no, I'm Jesus. No. Made himself of no reputation. I took the form of a servant and became obedient even unto death. And it says, even to death, so it proved that you wasn't just playing around. The death of the cross. The death of the cross, let me preach that to you. The death of the cross was the worst way to die. It was a disgraceful way to die. It was the worst way that they killed you. You know, Jesus bled out. Something to think about. When you're on that cross, and the nails and the nails, he said, them big stakes broke the ankles. And said, them nails, and said, them thorns on his head. And said, them whip, when they whipped him, it wasn't like the whippings you used to catch. It's like a big leather thing that got glass and nails and then it just scrape across his back. Yeah. You make you carry your own cross. I ain't got time to go there because I'll break down. When I get to thinking about it, I'll lose it. All right? But he got to go through that, man. He got to go through that. He got to walk through all of that and go through that whole process. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's like the death of the cross. That means he was that serious about doing it that I knew what that entailed. Everybody in the time knew what the death of the cross was. They had seen people get crucified before. So they knew what the process was. He clearly, this is what Jesus did. Jesus looked and saw what he had to do and then went in willingly. He walked into this murder by choice. He walked into this murder knowing what kind of murder it was going to be. It wasn't no, you know, head chop or you get shot in the head. It wasn't nothing quick. He knew I was going to have to deal with that for a minute. And all my friends was going to leave me. Everybody was going to leave me. Mom and them wasn't there. Nobody was there. Nobody was there to try to protect me. And I knew he knew he had to die, but nobody was there. At least you could have been standing there till I finished. At least you could have been there and say, I'm supporting you till it's over with. I know you got to go, but I'm going to support you. But no support. He said he being conformable. He said he's conformable unto death. He made a point that that's the mindset that he had, that he was willing to go that far for you. For who?
Me.
I don't know if we appreciate it enough. We become commonplace with Jesus and his sacrifice. So we become, you know, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a chosen generation. And we forget how you got chose. We cannot forget. Huh? I said we cannot forget. Nobody should have to remind you of the price that was paid for you. Anytime you got to remember, that means you're not a member. So we got to remember you. Or anytime we got to remind you, that means it's not on your mind.
Amen.
It shouldn't be a place where somebody got to remind you of the price that was paid for your hell-stricken soul. In that frame of mind, let that mind be in me, right? In that frame of mind, understanding what happened for me and understanding what somebody was willing to do for me. In that mind frame, it changes my faith. I'm not walking around here talking about a bunch of stuff that is meat and stuff that's minor and a bunch of things that don't really matter. I ain't got my mind on all the foolishness of the world. I ain't got my mind on all these little nitpicky things that we think make us somebody in this world. It changes me. It makes me understand. It makes my faith more fortified in who I am and what I am to do. So now I know that my faith is a little deeper than what I've been using it for. My faith is a little bit more. It got a little bit more onto it than what I've been shooting it towards. You know, God will let you go ahead and play little league basketball forever if you want to. You could be, 16 and 17 still playing with 7-year-olds. That's what you want to do. That's fine. God will let you stay in the minor leagues because you just don't want to grow up. Go ahead and keep playing ball on there, but your faith is a little higher. It's a little bit more mature. It's a little bit more grown, but you got to mature with it. I call that mature faith for a man to do something like that. I call it mature faith, dog, for a man to do something like that. To go all the way. I ain't stop. I ain't get halfway there and was like, I don't know if this is for me, Lord. Lord, things have been going good for me on this earth. We really been turning the world upside down. Hey, God, we've been doing a lot of good work out here. Our ministry popping right now. I don't know. You sure that this is what you want to do? You sure this is what Jesus said? Never. If you can't, let this cup pass from me. Can we do it another way? The ministry just started popping. We just got some members. And you never hear the Bible say, and God answered and said, because he knew already. Luke, quick, Luke 10:27, quickly. I'm going to give you a frame of mind real quick. Luke 10:27. No, that's the wrong scripture. You gave me the wrong one, Troy. What is Luke? Forget it, Matthew 22. I'll go to that one another time. Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse 38. Now, this is Jesus, right? How does your faith, everybody say faith.
Faith.
Come on, say it again, faith. How does your faith work? It says, the Bible talks about specifically how your faith worketh by something. What it work by? What your faith works by? If it works by that, like my faith works by love, then it means my faith is empowered by love. Like love is the power source for my faith. So if there's no love involved, then faith is just a car without gasoline. Or a car without an engine, it's even worse. So without faith was worketh by love. That's scripture now. So you can go look it up. You can go look it on yourself. Just go look it up. I'm talking scripture right now. Faith works by love. Right. So no love.
No faith.
I say it a little louder. No love.
No faith.
So I can't function in faith without love being in place. I know Valentine's Day, son. I ain't talking about that. We let the system tell us so many things. And we never go deeper.
Right.
We never go further. We stay shallow. We stay in the kiddie pool. My faith actually functions by love. If ain't no love there, then my faith can't function. Ain't no faith.
Ain't no love.
If ain't no love, Ain't no faith. Come on, say it. I want you, hold on. Don't use your English. Don't use your proper English. I want you to say it like me. If it ain't no love,
if it ain't no love,
then it ain't no faith.
It ain't no faith.
Say it again. If it ain't no, I got two. If it ain't no love,
it ain't no love,
then it ain't no faith. I want you to. I do things like that so you can talk to yourself when you're by yourself. So before you forget, and I got to remind you, it's going to be on your mind imprinted. They say Jesus spoke in epigrams. I told somebody Jesus was a rapper. What you mean? An epigram. They said the Gospels were written way after Jesus. I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they didn't write that while they was with him. Can you imagine trying to keep schedule or something while all this going on? You breaking bread, and you ain't never seen it before, and dead people getting up, and you trying to write it down? You couldn't do it. You got to tell that story after, right? But they say Jesus wrote in epigrams. Epigrams were like rhythms and repetitions. Uh-oh, it sounds like a rapper to me. Rhythms and repetitions. And the way they said it so much, they said it in rhythms and repetition when he said his parables. And the thing, he said it in a certain way that you were able to remember it. And it stuck just like the song you like right now. Just like that. You like that song that you like, and you don't even know why you like it. And people getting them epigrams on you right quick, and got you remembering stuff you ain't even. You ever heard a song that you know you didn't like when you first heard it, but then you were singing it later?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
It's something about the rhythm. Jay spoke an epigram. Jay spoke in a way that you can remember. So here we go. I don't know what I'm talking about before. Here we go. Matthew 22. But there ain't no faith, ain't no love. Do your hands. Come on. I like Miss Terry when she be singing. She be like, "Come on, lift your hands," and we love it. We be like, "Yeah, praise Jesus!" Right. We all know we be turned up. So we turn up. We kind of hood. We turn up. Yeah, right. So if it fix your faith, like, come on, y'all ready? Come on, listen. You ever somebody say, "I promise, I swear," you know. So if you don't do it this time, they get to clap in their hand. Like, do your fingers. Come on. Ain't no faith.
Ain't no faith.
See how I'm saying it? Like, you see how I'm saying it?
Yeah.
Come on. I need you. Come on. If it ain't no faith,
then
it ain't no love.
Ain't no
other way, other way. No, another way. See, I'm talking crazy. If it ain't no love,
then
it ain't no faith. So now I can't be walking in faith if love ain't the precept. So now, if I'm talking about I'm walking in faith, I'm walking in faith. Where's the love? Where is the love? Y'all remember that? Yeah. Where is it? Because if I can't find it, then I can't find your faith neither. Can we conclude to that? Love, all right? Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, and they come, one lawyer, and he come in and talking about verse 35. One of them was a lawyer. Asked him a question, tempted him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Verse 37, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." That take all your thoughts up. Oh, look up from your Bible right quick and look at me. Look at me right quick. That take up all your thoughts. Yeah. The Bible is very absolute. We be trying to find loopholes. Ain't no loophole to the love of God. I don't know who taught us how to live in loopholes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Ain't nothing left to do nothing else with. The next scripture, read it. Verse 37. 38. This is the first and great commandment. The first and great one. This is the first and great one. He was asking about all the law. This is the first and great one. It's the first and great one. 39. So the second one, did you hear me? The second one is just like the first one. The second one says, you need to love your neighbor just as much. Now that's where we need our faith to kick in, huh? You know, your neighbor is not the people that stay, that got the address next to yours. They're your neighbor in your neighborhood. But like your neighbor is anybody that's outside of your temple. Like anybody that's outside of your living place right now, like this right here, your flesh that you live in, the flesh that I now live in, the flesh I live out of, right? Anybody outside of that is your neighbor. Right? Like your spirit is living on the inside of this body. Anybody outside this house This house made of clay, right? Anybody outside this house is my neighbor. Everybody I come in, even the ones that cuss at you. Even the ones that be trying to do you dirty on the job. Even the ones that be lying to you in your face. Even the ones that that just do the thing that you don't it's not friendly. It just don't feel lovely. Yeah, but you're supposed to love them. How much? How do I do that? How? Lord, how? How? Good question, ain't it? How? Well, let me go back to verse 37. He said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. It's the first and great commandment. And ain't no second grade without first grade. Listen to me. Ain't no two without a one. You take one off the map, there's no such thing as two. We stop counting now. Because I can't get the two without one. So if that's the first one, then that's how I do the second one. Uh-oh. Yeah. I just got that one on the spot. Yeah. How do I love that neighbor that ain't so lovable? How do I do that? Well, if I love the Lord my God with how much? All your what? And all your what? And all your what? If I could do that, loving my neighbor would be easy. All right, well, question. Watch this. You ready? It ain't because we love God, because he first loved us, right? Ain't that the truth? That's scripture, right? For example, all right, so if it says that, then you realize how much God got to love you.
Right.
I'll wait. I'll wait how much love he had to use on you. Okay, y'all a bit more spiritual than me. You just ain't done nothing. You ain't never had no problems. You ain't never went on the wrong side of the line before. You have never. You ain't never did it. It's Jesus, then you. In the ranking of life. That's how we be acting in church, right? It's Jesus, no. He didn't have to use some of that love on you. His love has to be conditional for unconditional for me. God love has to be unconditional for somebody like me. I'm going to say it for myself because y'all ain't going to tell the truth. God's love... For a person like me, it gotta be unconditional. Otherwise, it'd have been a split. We'd have been broke up. God would have left me. You too. If I can keep my love in him, right? Then the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as you love who? Oh, Lord, you talking about doing for them what I do for myself? You talking about I got one piece left and I'm going to give them a piece? Oh, Lord, you talking about, there's a trick of the enemy that they run rampant in this new age and new society and then the new church. There's a trick of the enemy that's been running through our communities. It's a trick of individualism. We're very individualistic. We're not very connected, although the body talks about every joint supplies and the working in the measure of every part and the connection of it and how the shoulder can't say it don't need the knees. And it talks about that explicitly, yet we are very individualistic. We are very over there and over there. This mind, that's yours.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to tell you then. Well, I'm gonna pray for you. You know, right? Right? Yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And sometimes you're only saying that because there's nothing else you can do for them because you're trying to get stuff done for yourself. Come on, y'all. I'm trying to. Come on. Everybody say amen. Amen. Say it loud. Say amen.
Amen.
It's a trick. Be your own man. Be your own woman. What is that? Be your own person. Where is that at? Your faith. You want to know what your faith is for? You ready? The faith that not living the flesh, live by the faith of the Son of God. You want to know what that really is? You want to know where that starts off? Go to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 6. I can take this home real quick. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Well, I don't know, baby. Well, look, just keep praying. You know how we do it. Come on, y'all. Just keep praying. I'm going to give you four or five scriptures. Say those all day long, every day. And just keep and I'm keep praying, and I'm gonna pray with you. And then God gonna come through. He already came through. We need some manifestation here. It should be, we should be packing more power when somebody got something going on. Jesus, you ready? Was the ultimate intercessor. Matter of fact, he wasn't an intercessor. He is intercession. All right. The faith, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's talking about intercession. This is the first thing that you should be doing is interceding. Now, I know we do intercessory prayer, and I know what you think you know intercession is, but I want to go a little deeper because intercession is a little bit more close to home than your distant prayers. Yeah. Yep. I pray for you. Matthew 6, now y'all know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father prayer, right?
Yes, sir.
Read it. Go ahead, read it. Ready, read. I this man therefore pray you. Go ahead, our Father, go. In earth, praise the Lord. Give us this day. It is not a temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. For our us. I saw this. I was deep one year. One year I got deep. I said, you know, you got to start taking this personal. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth, give me this day my daily bread. God to correct me. He said, that ain't what I said. Jesus said, that ain't how I told you to pray. I didn't tell you to just pray for your. That's an ultimate intercession prayer. That's intercession. Jesus is intercession. Jesus is intercession. There's scripture right now in Romans talking about he's interceding right now for us. So now, John, back to John 14, the works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Now we go back, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, even conformable unto death. Now if I go to all these things, now I live by the flesh, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I understand what my faith is really for. I understand what I really need to be doing.
Glory to God.
And those things that you're trying to use your faith on really ain't faith. If you don't take care of this one first.
That's true. Amen. Lord Jesus. Glory to God.
So intercession. Intercession. Well, this is the modern day intercession, right? And I know some of y'all may have realized, but this is modern day intercession. This is modern day. I know if I thought like this, somebody else thought like this. Ready? Modern day intercession was, Metro, stand right there. Put you. Thank you. You ready? Stand just facing them right there. All right. This is modern day intercession. You right? This us. This is where we at. You? This is where we at. It don't matter. We at a job. We at the house. Wherever we at. Right? This is modern day intercession. Father, I thank you for Troy. And bless Troy's life. And sometimes we be further like this. Lord. There ain't no, then we start using, ain't no distance in the spirit, so in the name of. So this is what we do. We're praying for Troy, right? Ain't nothing wrong with praying for Troy, so I ain't saying stop praying for Troy. All right? I ain't saying stop praying for him. Right? Intercession, we're talking about intercession, right? So you're praying for him, right? Praise the Lord for, you know we stretch our hands in church in the name of, right? Come on, y'all. Come on. I'm doing it for a reason. Laugh. Come on. I know I'm touching your thing, but chill. Just chill for a second. I'm doing it for a reason. Shout out, about, and we send our prayers. Praise the Lord for that. Thank God for that. Don't stop, please. Don't stop. Keep doing it. There's power in there, okay? All right? Okay, there's power in there. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. There's power in there. Amen. There's power in there. All right? There's power in there. But true intercession is not finished. If you're trying to pray for Troy, come stand up on the steps right quick. Go, stand up. Go. Yeah, and then back up a little bit so everybody can see. No, that way, just that way. Face this way. If you keep praying for Troy like this, and you never pray for Troy. Come on, stick with me now. Come on. I'm praying for Troy. Lord, bless Troy. Let Troy be blessed. Help him through whatever problems he got. Help. No. I'm praying for Troy because Troy might be, look, put your head down like you're going through something. Lord, Troy might not be able to pray right now. So what I'm going to do is, I got this, Troy. I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in the fight, right? And then what I'm going to do is, listen, Lord. The scripture says that the Son of Man got power to forgive sins. Is it easy to say forgive sins or rise up and walk, right? Right? So now the works that I do. So now here we go. So now I can go ahead and say, I know Troy going through it. It don't make no sense for us to keep talking about it. Man, what's happening? What's going on? No. Listen, God. Listen. On his behalf, I forgive Troy. He might not know what to say. I repent on his behalf. I'm standing right here for Troy. He can't do it right now. The strong bound the infirmities of the weak. This is what this means. So now when I'm praying for Troy, we don't like to get in the fight. Everybody wants to say hit him, but you don't want to get up in there because you might get scathed a little bit. No. I got this, Troy. Listen. And then I'll stand in the gap for other stuff. If there's evil spirits, or different, I'm going to stand in the gap again. What you going to do for your little brother? I'll be doggone. He ain't my little brother no more, but he was my little brother at one time. He got me right now. But Darnell, I'll be doggone if that boy would have called me one day and told me somebody had hit him in his eye. It's about to go down. It's going to go down right then. On the spot. Ain't playing no games. Because that's my brother. I said that's my brother. See, we out here acting like we ain't kin. Acting like we some distant strangers because you from over there. No, you my brother. Look, whether you, sit down real quick. Whether you like it or not, you connected to me. Whether you like it or not, you ain't got to like me. But whether you like it or not, we connected. So if it goes down, we may come to odds. We may not agree on everything. We may not see everything the same. But if it go down, I'm going to be swinging. Do you feel me? So now I'm intercessing. Jesus said, I'm going to go all the way. So I'm not doing this. I'm going to get down there and I'm going to touch the leper. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to get down there where they at. I'm going to do the things that I got to do to intercede. When I look up the word intercede, it means standing on the behalf of another. To intervene. I can't intervene. Like enter. Like I got to get in. Intercession. Like the interstate. Thank you. If I'm not using my faith for that, then what I'm using it for? When last time you jumped in the fight? We sent them home wounded. They said the church killed more of their soldiers than the world do. We sent them home wounded. We sent them home hurt. We sent them home with no answers. And we don't get in the gap. I'm not saying use wisdom. I understand wisdom. Let's not go to wisdom right now because you ain't doing nothing. We got to get in. If my brother Brian don't know how to pray for himself, you better believe I'm on the line for him. Do you understand me? That's the faith of the Son of God. That's living by the faith of... Amen. God, thank you. Come on, lift your hands. God, thank you. We just thank you. Thank you for giving. Come on, lift your hands. If you can't, put your Bible on, lift your hands. Father, we thank you for giving us revelation, giving us understanding. God, we want to be more like your Son, Jesus. More like Jesus. We want to intercede. We want to stand in the gap. God, help us. Come on, screaming out, Lord, help us. Listen, Lord, what we don't believe, what we don't get it, what we don't understand, help us to understand. Give us the wisdom. Give us the plan. Give us the understanding. Give us the know-how. Let us become intimate with who you are and how you are. We receive every word tonight, God. Let these things stay on the inside of us. Enemy, I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. You will not steal the seed of faith that was planted tonight. It will stay and it will be in us and it will actually be us.